Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the program here this evening. And we got a couple other things we'll be talking about as well this evening. But in the meanwhile, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to lift up and glorify Christ. And again, we just pray that we could point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you and just use us for your glory. We thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And wow, it's kind of nice, the warmer weather and everything. I believe it was 57 degrees when I got out of my car here at the station tonight. And even though we had some rain come through periodically today, it really was a nice day and just very comfortable. And spring is definitely there. And hopefully the freezing weather is behind us. I had some cold weather at my house here earlier this past week. We had that cold snap that came through. I think the one night we got down to about, I believe it was 24 degrees. Most of the night I think was spent around 25 degrees. It was a hard freeze, but didn't seem to damage too much of anything. And then the next night was down around 25, 26 degrees most of the night. So hopefully we're not going to see that cold again until next fall, next winter, hopefully. But meanwhile, things are greening up and things are blooming. And I don't know about you, but where we're at, the daffodils have been incredible this year. They really have been nice. And now some of the flowering trees, I would say that with that cold snap, there were some magnolias on our street that the blooms kind of turned brown from that hard freeze that we had. But some of the other things that are blooming were doing quite well. And it looks like some of the flowering crabs are starting to come in. And I got a couple of pear trees that are blooming nicely. And they seem to weather the cold snap pretty well as well. But anyway, not much we can do about that. I was thinking, you know, with all that cold weather, you know, I could have used some global warming on those couple of nights. But anyway, this is northeastern Ohio. We complain about the weather, and it's bound to change in the next few minutes. So anyway, I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we certainly invite you to come out and visit us sometime. We've got our information, I believe, updated, and our new meeting location, and we'll have that at the middle of the program and at the end of the program as well. And you can find out more about us, go online, livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find some more information, not only about us, but about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. And you can link to our website from there. You can listen to some past programs there. You can read some articles that I've written and some other materials that are all available. And just remember, livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, we're going to get to a couple of things here, and before we get into the program and get into our callers here tonight, I just want to remind you that the primary election for Ohio is coming up this Tuesday. Hard to believe it's here already, May the 3rd, today, of course, May 1st, and it will be here Tuesday, and if you have not voted yet, let me encourage you to get out. And there's some good materials available to help you out with some of the some of the races. We might have a number of candidates you're not really sure. Let me direct you to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. If you go there, you can see not only their voter's guide, and that'll have some information regarding people that are running for the governor, running for, I believe, Secretary of State, and then also running in the Senate race, U.S. Senate race, as well as two of the U.S. House districts, District 13, which is pretty much all of Summit County and much of northwestern Stark County and a little tiny sliver of Portage County right around Kent, I guess. And then also District, I believe it's 7, which is Medina County, part of Wayne County. And I believe it gets a little bit of Cuyahoga County in the west. And not sure about a little bit of Lorain. But you can go to ohioca.org, and they have links where you can find a map to see where you're at. You can also click on a link to see where or what your ballot will be like. And you can also, in addition to looking at their voter guide, there's a series of podcasts that they have available where Chris Long, the president of Ohio Christian Alliance, has interviewed a number of the candidates running for some of these offices. And of course, if you do not see a candidate in the voter guide, it's not because the voter guide was not sent to them. It's because they did not return the voter guide. And I actually asked Chris about this on our program, on our Friday program, back on April the 22nd, and I believe I have that one online, but on April the 22nd, we were talking about this, and they send the voter guide to every candidate that pulls a petition to run in the race. So if you only see a couple of people there, and you say, well, I know there's more people running. I know there's more people running for governor. I know there's more people running for Senate or whatever. It's not because they did not receive a ballot or a questionnaire. It's because they either chose not to return it or they did not get it in before the deadline. And that's how that works. And we talked about that a little bit on our program on Friday, April the 22nd. So you might find that interesting to see what goes in to producing a voter guide. So I just wanted to share that with you. Be informed. Be informed about what's happening and be informed about the candidates and pray about your decision. And I want to encourage you to vote biblical values. And this one that separates from a lot of people is the pro-life issue. And, you know, we have the top four people, for instance, running for the U.S. Senate in Ohio would be Gibbons, Mandel, Vance, and Dolan, I believe, are the top four. And of those top four, Gibbons, Mandel, and Vance have all indicated that they are pro-life. And yet then we have Matt Dolan, who of the top four running on the Republican side of the ticket, Matt Dolan, I remind people, voted against the heartbeat bill. And so when you're looking at that, if you're voting in the Republican primary, you may want to keep in mind that of the top four candidates, and I think Jane Timken probably is in about number five position. She's also pro-life. So if you include her, the top five there, and then I believe Paquita is in there. I'm not sure where he's at in terms of the rank. I think he's behind Jane Timken. Of course, those numbers change periodically. But he's also indicated that he's pro-life. So the only one that's really not consistently pro-life is Matt Dolan. So I would caution you about that. I mean, he has this habit when he ran for state office of positioning himself as a super conservative. And if you've seen or heard his ads on the radio or a television, he's presenting himself as this tremendous conservative. Well, just remember, he's not a reliable pro-life candidate. And here's another thing you can consider. The Second Amendment. Look at some of these candidates. And again, of of the ones that we are talking about here when we're looking at Paquita and Timken and Dolan and Mandel and Vance and Gibbons. Out of all of them, they're pretty much reliable Second Amendment guys, except Dolan again. Remember when Governor DeWine was wanting to put forward these red flag laws that were going to basically say if you thought your neighbor wasn't looking too good, looked at you funny or something like that, you could make an anonymous tip or let the police know, or a doctor could say, I don't think Joe Smith's that stable. You better go and take his guns, just to protect him. Just to, make sure he's safe. We're doing it for his safety. And, Matt Dolan was all over that. And, of course, that is not a pro-Second Amendment position by any means. And again, those are some things to consider. I don't want to spend the whole time talking about that. There are some good resources online. And let me encourage you to do a little research if you haven't made up your mind. And there's a lot of people who've not made up their mind. And pray about this. And of course, on the Democrat side, it's looking like for Senate, Tim Ryan will likely be the guy that gets the nomination on the Democrat side. And, of course, he did not fill out the Ohio Christian Alliance survey because, let's just face it, he is not pro-life. He is not pro-Second Amendment, as well as a number of other things. And so that's why he didn't fill it out. The government doesn't like it too much when we talk about some of these things, and so we learned this past week that there's a new disinformation governance board that's been found out about, and they're there to battle disinformation. Well, we found out that the Department of Homeland Security, as I said, is the home of the new Disinformation Governance Board. What is that? Well, if you've ever read 1984, think the Ministry of Truth. The Ministry of Truth. Let me just encourage you. You can find 1984 by George Orwell in the library, and you can find it online. And there's a couple of things in there that are very interesting, very prophetic about what's happening. And, of course, through it, there's the party's theme, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And it sounds a little contradictory, and it's designed that well or that way. It's what George Orwell called doublethink, which means the power of, as he said it in the book, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. And so they had in 1984, the Ministry of Peace concerns itself with war, the Ministry of Truth with lies, the Ministry of Love with torture, and the Ministry of Plenty with starvation. These contradictions are not accidental, nor do they result from ordinary hypocrisy. They are deliberate exercises in doublethink. And part of this, the reason for this is what George Orwell brilliantly portrayed in 1984, is the idea of brainwashing people. Many of the college-age people in our country today think that freedom of speech is a threat to society. I actually heard someone on MSNBC, making an impassioned statement about the danger of a billionaire taking over a media platform. Keep in mind that bought out the Washington Post? On the tip of my tongue there for a minute. Elon Musk, the Washington Post. Jeff Bezos, that's right, and I had to tip my tongue here. But Elon Musk bought out Twitter here just recently, and people are all up in arms. They might restrict the audience of some people. They might cancel some people on there. It's all the stuff that they've been doing to conservatives, and they're saying, oh, we're worried they're going to do it to us now. And others practically crying say, oh, they're going to have free speech. This is terrible. Well, again, this brings out another quote from 1984, where he said, power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. He also said orthodoxy means not thinking, not needing to think. Orthodoxy is unconsciousness. And then he said the heresy of heresies was common sense. And this is orchestrated. This is not something that is just happening by accident. The ministry, I still call it the Ministry of Truth because that's what it is. They can call it the Disinformation Governance Board all they want. But when you look at the disinformation czar, Nina Jankowicz, and I do have to admit, she has a catchy little song that she sings. I think she's pretty talented and does a pretty good Julie Andrews impression. We're not going to play it today. I'm sure many of you heard it already. But she sang a parody song, O Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and basically about disinformation. And it is kind of entertaining, but it's kind of chilling in the sense of what's happening here. But she was tapped as the head of the new Ministry of Truth here in Homeland Security. And she ought to know a little thing or two about disinformation. She thinks the Hunter laptop, which has been amply backed up and proven, Washington Post, New York Times now, nearly 2 years after it came out, now admit that it is true. She says it's disinformation and many other things. It's, I guess if I change the name of it a little bit, called the Marxist Ministry of Truth in a sense, but it is something that we as free thinking, free speech advocates need to be concerned about. If that doesn't chill you a little bit, on April 22nd, President Obama said that social media censors, quote, don't go far enough. Now think about that. On April 21st, Obama says social media censors don't go far enough. 6 days later, Joe Biden rolled out his Ministry of Truth. Is that a coincidence? I think not. I think that old Obama here has a little bit more control over what's happening in the White House than perhaps what Biden has. And so we need to be aware of this because it directly affects what we as Christians do. Obama went on to say that people are dying because of so-called misinformation about the COVID vaccines. He blamed big tech for failure to stop the spread of disinformation on their platforms. He also railed against President Trump's former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, and compared him to Putin and said they both use disinformation to weaken democratic institutions. He said people like Putin and Steve Bannon, for that matter, understand it's not necessary for people to believe this information in order to weaken democratic institutions. You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. And he continued, once they lose their trust or lose trust in their leaders, mainstream media, and political institutions in each other, the possibility of truth, the game is won. And here's the thing. These are the very things that the Obama administration did in their closing days. It wasn't President-elect Trump or even candidate Trump that authorized the FBI and the National Security Agency to spy on an American citizen. Now, look, I was in the United States Air Force, and I was I was in, at the time, what was called the Electronic Security Command, and there were protocols in place to keep us from listening in on the conversations, spying on American citizens. It's illegal. And yet, we had an administration in its closing days that was trying to rig an election and trying to sway an election for the person that they wanted, Hillary Clinton, who has her own problems with disinformation. They were trying to shape public opinion by restricting information, by canceling people's social media accounts, shadow banning people, and doing things to prevent information from coming out. The complicit media, the New York Times, sat on the Hunter Biden laptop story. They knowingly promoted the false Trump-Russian tapes and Russian collusion tapes and all that. They knowingly promoted false information. The FBI was complicit in it. And we talked about these things. We knew about these things 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago during the election, and talked about them. Maybe not as much on our program here as some other programs, but this is not something that just appeared. Now some of these same outlets are admitting that these things are happening, and at the same time, they're cracking down on our ability to engage in free speech, which last I heard is something that's in the United States Constitution. And the reason that it's there, the reason that we have free speech in the Constitution, is in the First Amendment, free speech is what supports freedom of religion. And so we need to be careful. You know, there are techniques out there, and I was in where I saw what the capabilities were, but this was before the internet, before cell phones and all of these things. But I'm reminded of a passage in the scripture when you look over in what Solomon was saying in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, in verse 20, Solomon wrote this. He said, "Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." And this idea about what you speak in private, what you speak when you think no one can hear, he says, "A bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." And, you know, the techniques that we had back then, I came out of the Air Force, and remember, this was when everybody still had landlines, cell phones were not yet out, and this was in the late 1980s. I know that sounds like ancient history, but I said at the time, there is absolutely nothing you can do electronically that cannot be monitored, that cannot be listened to, that cannot be copied. And that was in the technology we had back then. When I was in England where I was stationed, I remember watching on the BBC, the BBC did a study. They heard that the government communications headquarters, that's GCHQ in Cheltenham, which is the British equivalent of our National Security Agency. And they said the BBC heard that the government communications headquarters had the ability to wirelessly tap into things such as an electric typewriter. How many people remember electric typewriter? And you know, we had the IBM Selectric 2. That was our typewriter of choice when I was in the Air Force, kind of the top-of-the-line office typewriter. And so they did an experiment, the BBC did, and they did a special report on it on the news one day. And they had a guy sitting in a van on a street in London. And he was sitting outside of the offices of the British Broadcasting Company, the BBC. And several floors up, they had a guy on a computer, and he was typing on his computer a message. And as he typed out on his computer and remember when you touch the keys, it generates an electrical impulse. which then, of course, instructed the computer what to display on the display tube there, the display screen, and you could see what he was typing out. And then they showed a cutaway of the guys in the van down on the street below the office building, out on the street, and they had a setup in the van where exactly what they were typing on their computer up in the building in the offices was appearing on the screen in the van. Now, this wasn't a government agency. Well, BBC, I guess, is a government agency. Now that I think about it, British Broadcasting Company. But this was not the military intelligence or the government intelligence or anything like that. They were typing out exactly, and they could do the same thing with an IBM Selectric, things like that. And they were monitoring wirelessly from some equipment in the van what was going on in that building. They could monitor telephone conversations, all kinds of things. Technology's a lot further advanced now. And bird of the air, carry your voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. There's not a whole lot you can keep secret in this day and age. You can try to avoid it. You can try to get away with it. But it's like Jesus said, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness, ye shall hear in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ear in a closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops, in Luke chapter 12, verse 3. And I know he's talking about some other things there, but again, we see that today. The capability that is there. And this is what makes this ministry of truth so chilling to free speech. What makes it so chilling in respect to our ability to freely come on the radio and speak about these things, to gather in your churches and speak about these things, to gather even in your homes and be able to speak about these things. There are things back there, there are things that you can't really get into that enable people to listen into your conversations and monitor what you're doing remotely. And if you knew half of it, you'd probably go crazy. But the fact of the matter is, if you know Christ as your Savior, guess what? You don't have to worry, because the Bible says the mystery of iniquity is being held at bay. We saw that. We've talked about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The devil wants to bring all these things together to where he can control the world. We see these Marxist people that are involved, you know, this Marxist ministry of truth that's here. And, you know, we look at that and you say, well, that's impossible. It just can't happen. I don't believe it. Well, believe it. And there's things worse than that that are out there. I was thinking of Lewis Carroll. He wrote in Through the Looking Glass about Alice in Wonderland talking with the Red Queen, and says, Alice laughed. There's no use in trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for a half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Well, there's a lot of impossible things that they're asking us to believe. There's a lot of things. Read 1984. I mean, I read it a long time ago, and I started reading it this past week, and it is amazing when you connect that in light of the Biden administration's Marxist ministry of truth that they brought into being just a few days after President Obama said that big tech isn't doing enough to censor your speech online. Well, no wonder they're so upset with Elon Musk buying out Twitter and talking about restoring it to a neutral platform where you have real free speech. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know I went on long right here, and we have some callers. We'll get to them in the second half of the program. I just wanted to vent a little bit about this here today. I believe this is important. I believe this is something that when you start going down this route, you know, it's unless God intervenes, the future isn't that bright. Well, I want you to stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I want to encourage you in Christ. Don't give up. Don't be dismayed. God is greater. And we've read the end of the book. We know who wins. Stay tuned. Another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight, unless, of course, the thought police decide to stop us. But in the meanwhile, we'll go as long as we can. But you're listening to us on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to say happy church anniversary to Bible Baptist Church in Euclid, or I'm sorry, Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Pastor Andrew Snacko. You can hear his program here on 1220. He actually follows us on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2, and then Pastor Snacko is on at 2 o'clock until 2:30. Encourage you to check out the program there. But happy anniversary to Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. And I remind you again, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We're brought to you by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and we're having a great time getting used to and figuring out what all we need to do. Meeting in our new location at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, and we've had some visitors, and we've got a lot done, and well, it's just been good. And it's nice to have our own place after sojourning in the wilderness for 13 years in a hotel before coming back into our own building. And also remind you that we're not only brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216 941-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And got to point out, we had pizza from East Coast Pizza for our Friday night Bible study this past Friday. We don't do it every week, but every once in a while we do. And it was fantastic. I hadn't had some since, it's been a couple of months since the last time I had some, and always enjoy it. So let me encourage you, give them a call. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting back to our program here. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting here for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And yes, I'm been a member of Bible Baptist Temple for 35 years, and our 43rd anniversary service was just a real blessing today.
Amen.
Really good turnout, and we had a nice chicken dinner. We hadn't done that for a couple of years, you know, because of the so-called pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a bit, I believe Pastor said we had 8 first-time visitors.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was a good turnout.
I wanted to point out to our listeners as well, they may not know it, Pastor Rusnacko is the only pastor your church has had, because he actually was the one that God used to start that church.
Absolutely. So, he started it, still there, 43 years.
How
many years have you been the pastor at Bible Baptist Church? I was curious about
that. Let's see. I became the pastor when we came back from the mission field we were in the Samoan Islands in 1990, came back in 1997. And so I believe it was about August of 1997 that I became the pastor.
Oh, and, okay.
Now, I had been affiliated with the church before that.
Oh, mm-hmm. So about 25 years.
Yeah.
Well, and that's still quite a while, because so many churches, you know, they have some kind of a board that they tell the pastor, okay, you know, you got to move to this date or this location. But I think it's really excellent when a pastor can, you know, just stay there. There's such good, especially if you have a good one like you and Pastor Andy.
Well, you know, and you bring up a good point, and this is why myself, and I think I can speak for Pastor Rusnacko on this too, we're independent Baptists. And independent is different than a Southern Baptist or American Baptist, or even when you look in other denominations. I remember knowing a gentleman who had been an independent Methodist, opposed to what you would more normally think of as Methodist. He was an independent Methodist, which meant that he did not belong to any kind of synod or regional group of any kind or whatever. And see, that's part of one of the reasons that I'm an independent Baptist, is because we don't look to some organization above the local church to be our directors. We look to God himself. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And so the church and the pastor are the ones that make the decisions, not somebody in an office somewhere, on the other side of the state or the other side of the country. And I think that's what it ought to be.
Oh, yes. I definitely agree with that. Now, my question tonight is concerning easy believism. And
yes.
I'm thinking about Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then also I'm thinking of Romans 8, 5-8, the first verse. Those that continue to walk in the flesh are not believers. And then 2 Corinthians 13:5, the carnal Christian who examines himself will soon see he's not in the faith. But so many churches, they practice this easy believism. You know, you just come forward and would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior? They usually leave out Lord because they don't want to alienate anybody. They want to get a lot of so-called new members. But how do you deal with a person that's been a victim, I call it victim, of believism when they truly think they're saved because some pastor told them that they are? Well, now now you can guarantee to go into heaven because we said this little prayer.
Right.
And I'm not telling you which relative, but I had a relative that was a member of a church that practiced that, and he just explained to me, he said, you know, in my church, the pastor just said, if you want to get saved, if you want to go to heaven, just come forward. And he said, we didn't even have to say anything. He said, and he told me I was saved. So, well, unfortunately, this particular relative died a couple of years ago, and his family thinks he's going in heaven. And I talked to him since then, because this was a number of years ago, you know, about his faith, and it didn't seem to change. And so his relatives are so sure he's in heaven. But,
well,
but of course, you can't do anything about that. But how, what do you say to somebody that's still alive, of course?
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult thing when you think about it, because, you know, I put it this way. People are being inoculated against salvation, and sometimes by well-meaning people. They push. There's some people who push to pray a prayer. A person might not be ready to pray a prayer, but they push them anyways. And even in our own independent fundamental Baptist circles, which you and I are in, we've gone through this. Especially there was a time in the 70s. It just seemed like this was a big thing. Push them to say a prayer. Push them to say a prayer. And it wasn't exclusive to the 70s. But when I was growing up, and I grew up in an independent Baptist church, and I was, as a young guy, about 8 years old, during an evangelistic campaign at our church, the evangelist was preaching. I felt God stirring my heart. I grew up in church. I never doubted any of the things in the Bible. I never doubted that Jesus was God. I never doubted that heaven was real, hell was real. Never doubted any of it. I believed it all. But see, I was where James writes about in James chapter 2, where he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well, in verse 19. The devils also believe and tremble. That's kind of where I was at. I was in the same place where they were at. And I come under conviction, and even though I intellectually believed all these things, I wasn't saved. I had never said to God, you know, I deserve hell. I have sinned and broken your law. If I die right now, I deserve hell. I had never done that. And I came under conviction. I was in the service, and in the invitation at the end of the service, they herded us all into a back room, you know, all of us young people that came forward, and they went through some Bible verses, basically what we call the Romans Road, and you know, some passages in Romans that talks about the, you know, the wages of sin is death and the gift of God's eternal life and all this, that, and the other. And we went through that, and then they said, now, if you believe, let's all pray a prayer. And they led us to pray a prayer. A prayer of salvation. They said, you know, congratulations, you're all saved. Well, I felt the same.
Oh, wow.
I felt the same. And so the next night, during the invitation, I was still under conviction. I went forward the second night, and same process. Back into the back room, they went through these verses, and they said, now let's say this prayer. Now you're saved. Congratulations, you're saved. And I still didn't feel any different. And I went home still feeling as lost as can be. And so the third night, I went forward again because I was under conviction. I wasn't saved. I was under conviction. And I went forward again, and some well-meaning person said, you know, you've already done this twice. You don't need to do this again. And I went home. I tell people, I grew up in an independent Baptist church, and I got saved in spite of it because I went home that night. I was laying in bed thinking about it and thinking about the verses, thinking about the messages, thinking about my condition with, you know, relationship with God. And I basically, laying in my bed, I had bunk beds, I believe, at the time. I remember looking up at the top of the bed above me. And I just said to the Lord, I said, basically, Lord, I deserve to die and go to hell because I'm a sinner. And I said, but Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the thing became real to me. And I put my faith in Christ and Christ alone, and that's where I got saved. I didn't get saved praying a prayer at church. If I would have said, oh, okay, I prayed a prayer, I guess I'm okay. There were people I went to school with that came there, and they prayed that prayer. And because I went through school all the way through high school with them, I've got good reason to believe they never got saved when they prayed that prayer either. And later in life, I actually have witnessed people pressure somebody to pray a prayer. And then in one particular case, the individual the soul winner got up and went his way, saying, oh, praise God, he got saved. And the individual supposedly got up and went the other way, angry, saying, that's the last time I'm going to let anybody do that to me. He didn't get saved. He was hardened against the gospel. And so we have to be careful. And then, so in the 80s, we came into this thing where people talked about easy believism. Well, just say you believe in God and you'll be okay. Well, the devils believe, the Bible says. Right. And it says they tremble because they know that he's a holy God and they know where they're going to wind up for all eternity. And so it's not enough just to believe. I remember one time while on deputation as a missionary, my wife and I were somewhere and the hotel we stayed in had a cable TV with a Christian station on. So we thought we'd look at this and they had this thing called Rappin' Rabbit. I just can't make this up. Well, somebody did, I guess. But this big fancy Cadillac or whatever pulls up in this not so nice area of town, and this rabbit gets out. You know, a figure looked like Bugs Bunny, only shorter and stockier, and covered with gold chains. You know, remember Mr. T on when he was out and he had all his gold chains and rings and stuff like that. And he gets out of this Cadillac going, I'm Rappin' Rabbit, and I'm here to say all you got to do is say you believe. Just say you believe. Just say you believe. And that was supposedly giving the gospel. That was no gospel message there. And so it really is difficult. The Bible talks about being sure of your salvation, working out your salvation. Make sure. Did you just pray a prayer or were you sincere? And this is what's hard, and this is what's a problem, because some people have been, as I said, inoculated against salvation by praying a prayer, and I'm not against getting people to pray and put their faith in Christ, but the problem is when we push people before they're ready, then they'll go through life, and you come up to them later and say, well, have you ever prayed and asked Jesus to save you? And they say, of course I have, but they show no fruit. They show no evidence of salvation. And, you know, I think it's a dangerous thing. In a sense, it's like the Bible warned, we make them twofold more, you know, twofold more the prisoners. I'm going to mess the verse up there. But we make them in a worse state than what they were before, because now they think they're saved. People think they're saved, and they're really not. I actually was in a missions conference in Tennessee, where somebody who was a missionary going to the mission field to preach the gospel in the missions conference responded during the invitation and said, you know what? I was never saved. I just made a prayer.
Wow.
He says, I want to come forward and confess that. And they actually baptized him there that night. Or the next night, maybe, as a result. And that, can you imagine that? And he had prayed a prayer previously and got caught up in it. I know when I was a missionary in Samoa, there were probably some young people that got caught up in it. Well, everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do it too, see what happens. And they prayed a prayer. You know, and that's always one of the things I've been sensitive to, because I know what happened to people around me and what almost happened to me. And, you know, I don't want that to happen to anybody else. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
Probably have another call.
Yeah. I got some more callers calling here. So I appreciate the call there tonight, Nancy.
Thank you very much.
And that was a good thing. People need to be aware of that. Preach the gospel, but let the Holy Spirit work. Don't force it. We have Phyllis in Twinsburg calling tonight. Phyllis, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening. I haven't spoken to you for quite a long, long time.
Yes, it has been.
And what prompted me to call you tonight was, as you could tell by my voice, I'm really stretching it to stay up late, is that, and I do listen to you most weeks. I make it my best shot to stay up for the whole hour, but I catch you, you know, sometimes half and then I'll be falling asleep. So
yeah. Well,
at any rate, I do enjoy what you do here.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry we got just a few minutes left, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Only have a few minutes. Well, just a real quick thing. A friend of mine called me yesterday, a good Christian friend, and she said, Phyllis, would you like to go down to Cuyahoga Falls to the Sheraton Inn and Suites? Because J.D. Vance...
Oh, yeah, he was there tonight, yeah.
He was there tonight. Well, I found myself there, and I didn't really expect to be there because I don't usually go traveling around that far myself. So I went because she urged me to go, and it was very, very nice. I'm so glad I went, and it kind of pushed me over the edge in terms of who to vote for on Tuesday. And I was very happy with what I heard, and J.D. Vance is quite a guy.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, I had an opportunity to hear him here in Independence here a couple of weeks ago, but it's nice to have these opportunities, isn't it, where you can hear these people for yourself.
Absolutely. And I sat in the second row, and I got to see him and hear him, and I was very pleased and feeling very positive about his stand on all the conservative issues. And as far as I'm concerned, is anybody who is backed by Mr. Donald Trump and his son, Donald Trump Jr., hey, he's got to be a fighter. And we need somebody who's a fighter today. We need a tough guy, a strong leader, someone who stands up for our conservative values, which I do believe he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's young enough to bring a fresh young kind of non-politician to the Senate. So I'm happy I went. And also, the thing that I was shocked, I got to meet Josh Hawley.
Yeah, I was going to say he was there, and Charlie Kirk, who's on our sister station, 1420, were there.
1420. I was trying to think of where Charlie has a program.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very pleased with Charlie. Charlie backs J.D. Vance 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, Charlie and him are friends.
Yeah. And, just got a couple minutes. I'm going to have to intervene here and appreciate that. And I want to encourage people, you know, in the couple days before the primary, get out there, get involved, and get informed like you did. And make your decisions. Don't let somebody force you into a decision. You pray about it, and you make a decision based on the information that that you're able to find. So I'm going to have to let you go there, not because I don't like the conversation, but because we're out of time pretty much. But I appreciate
good.
That. Call us back.
Somebody tonight.
Yeah.
By sharing that, and I just made it point to
stay late. Well, and again, I appreciate that, and we'll have to have you call us again sometime. We can talk about some more of these things, too. And I want to apologize to Terry for not being able to be with us here tonight. We'll get to Terry, I'm sure, next week, but we're coming just about a couple of minutes left in the program here. And I was going to mention, too, Phyllis had brought up some things there. You know, I can give a shameless plug. I'm in the 13th district there for the U.S. House race, and I was going to say Janet Folger Porter there, the author of the heartbeat bill, and Phyllis was talking about getting a fighter in there. Well, she's certainly somebody who has proven that she can deliver the goods, the author of the heartbeat bill, which has been spread across the country, and Texas has it in place now. It survived Supreme Court challenges, U.S. Supreme Court, high court challenges in Texas. It is now saving, I think they estimate it'll save 40,000 or so children a year in Texas alone. And I brought this up not so much to plug Janet Folger Porter, though I think she's a great choice, but to mention that they're going to incorporate some of this in, they're trying to get a bill before the Ohio House that'll incorporate some of these things that are in the Texas Heartbeat Bill to help strengthen and say the Ohio Heartbeat Bill, which was one of the first, and to save babies here in Ohio. And I'm sure if she gets into the U.S. House, she will definitely be carrying that fight into Washington, D.C. But I do want to thank you for listening tonight. Thank you to our callers tonight. Terry, sorry I couldn't get to you this evening. And and reminder, please, please get out and vote on May the 3rd, the Ohio primary. And if you don't see some of the people that you thought were going to be on the ballot, such as your state representatives and your state senators, that's because there's going to be another primary in August for them, we think. And that's still kind of up in the air, thanks to the shenanigans with the Ohio Supreme Court and Chief Justice O'Connor down there. Pray that God raises up godly individuals. A primary is a time for you to make your voice heard. As a Christian, this is a time for you to be salt and light. You don't like who's on the ballot in November? If you don't vote in the primaries, well, you didn't exercise your opportunity. This is what the primaries are for. Let your voice be heard so that hopefully we'll get some decent candidates on the ballot for November. But we pray, do the best that we can, and allow God to use us, and hopefully we push back the darkness a little bit. Hopefully we exercise that role as salt, preserving and giving flavor to the society around us in a spiritual sense just a little longer until that day that God calls us to be home with Him. In the meanwhile, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 or next Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Bible study Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4173 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al, pastoral@maplenoll.us. And be sure to tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.